You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
On the 26th of September, the US Federal Reserve, the American counterpart of the Reserve Bank of India, lifted short-term rate by a quarter point to a range of 2% to 2.25%. This is a benchmark for many consumer and business loans. It was the eighth such hike by the Fed since 2015. Rate hikes by the Federal Reserve are important news because they generally lead to a rise in US Treasury's yield and act as incentives for foreign funds to park their money in US markets for higher rate of interest. That then leads to foreign fund outflows from emerging markets like India, Turkey, Argentina, etc., because rate hikes tend to lower investment returns for foreign investors and prompt them to sell. Such a development is bad news for our currency and other emerging market currencies because the dollar grows stronger in the currency market. That is the briefest way to summarize the fallout of a US Fed rate hike. We're going to attempt in this edition of Digging Deeper to explain it in a bit of detail how India is affected by the US Federal Reserve and what the immediate future looks like for the Indian economy. My name is Rakesh, and on Digging Deeper, we talk today about how the US Federal Reserve rate hikes affect India.
The Deep Dive podcast series. How do US Fed rate hikes affect India?
Before going into the details of how the US Federal Reserve activity impacts India and other emerging markets, let's first understand what the US Federal Reserve is. Here is a brief history of the entity that we're going to be talking about today. The US Fed, or Federal Reserve, was founded in 1913 to be the caretaker of the American economy. In the November of 1910, six white men, met at the Jekyll Island Club in the state of Georgia to secretly discuss their concerns about the banking system in the US. Yes, in secret. What is it with rich white guys and secrecy? Remember those super exclusive secret societies in Ivy League universities like Seven Society or Gridiron or Skull and Bones at Yale? Or the very famous or the infamously disruptive Bullingdon Club at the University of Oxford? All white dudes, all secretive, at least for the large part of their histories. Following the bank panic of 1907, these gentlemen were concerned about the potential for financial panic that severely disrupted economic activities somewhat periodically during their time. They put together a plan to reform the American banking system that ultimately became the blueprint for the Federal Reserve System. 3 years after that secret meeting, then-American President Woodrow Wilson signed into law the Federal Reserve Act, and the Federal Reserve System was born in December 1913. According to Investopedia, the Fed decides U.S. monetary policy, supervises and regulates banking institutions, and maintains stability in their financial system. It also provides financial services to depository institutions, the American government, and other foreign financial institutions. It's, of course, a separate story that the U.S. Fed is blamed for standing by and watching the Great Depression of 1929 unfold. After the Second World War, the Fed exorcised some of its ghosts from the Great Depression. It kept interest rates low when the U.S. economy went on a bull run that lasted till the 1960s. But what does a hike in the US Fed's rates mean? I know that these things make headlines across the country, across the world indeed, and somehow we're supposed to be informed about these things, but more often than not, we don't know the connection between that and the price of tea in China. Let's understand that now. A US Fed rate hike refers to an increase in interest rates that the Federal Reserve is willing to provide to banks in the US for lending and borrowing activities. As a consequence of such an increase, the interest rates of everything else in the US go up. Government bonds, bank savings deposits by customers, consumer loans, etc. Pretty similar to what happens to the interest rates of our loans or fixed deposits when the Reserve Bank of India tweaks interest rates in India. So far, so good. It's kind of analogous to the central bank here. In the case of India, an increase in US Fed rates has generally led to a decrease in the value of our currency against the dollar. Now, to understand this, we need to examine the connection between currency and interest rates. Emerging economies like India, Turkey, Argentina, Brazil, etc. generally experience higher inflation and have higher interest rates than developed countries like USA, UK, Germany, or Japan. For example, fixed deposit interest rates in India this year have hovered between 7 and 8%. Inflation in India was around 3.69% in August and well over 4% in July. On the other hand, both interest rates and inflation in the US have held at about 1 to 1.5%. Many financial institutions borrow money in the United States at low interest rates and invest those borrowings in government bonds of emerging countries in local currencies to earn higher interest. Do you get it now? Interest rates are lower in America. So many financial institutions invest those borrowings in government bonds of emerging countries because, well, the interest rates are higher. Even after accounting for the depreciation of local currencies due to higher inflation, investors still end up earning more than what they could have earned had they just held their money in American bonds. There is, of course, a fair bit of risk in a venture like this. Emerging economies are, well, less stable than the American economy. We saw the situation unfold in Turkey only recently. So such investments can quickly lose value if inflation in, let's say, India spikes sharply or the Indian government takes some policy measures that weaken the rupee. When the US raises its domestic interest rates, the difference between interest rates in India and the US decreases. It doesn't take an Amartya Sen to deduce that such a change makes India less attractive for such investors. In such a scenario, some of the money exits the Indian economy and flows right back to the United States. Such investors sell their Indian investments and convert the local currency they get from this sale, in our case the rupee, or in the case of Argentina the peso, or in the case of Turkey the lira, to US dollars, which they then send home. One MoneyControl.com analysis explains that more often than not, fund managers sell some part of their holdings in emerging market equities and deploy that money in US bonds. The demand for dollars increases while the demand for the rupee drops in the foreign exchange market. Consequently, the dollar increases in value while the rupee suffers. In other words, the dollar goes on to become stronger. This hurts the economy in serious ways. Dollar outflows, in addition to weakening the rupee, also hold the RBI back from cutting interest rates, as that could lead to further outflows. With oil prices only rising, a weak rupee would inflate import bills and put enormous pressure on the government's finances. We've discussed this issue on many different podcasts previously about how serious this problem can get. Rising oil prices could see India's import bill rise by as much as $30 billion. Brent crude, which is the international benchmark for crude, is currently trading at $84.92 a barrel. That price has risen 27.68% from about 66.57 level at the start of the year. India, as we know, imports 81% of all its overall crude requirement, making it the third largest importer of oil after the US and China. And pay attention to this, because this is important. Payment for crude oil is always done in dollars. A higher crude oil price means more rupees being converted to dollars, which only serves to strengthen the dollar. The Iran sanctions add to this mess because they begin in November and they will exacerbate the problem. There is already talk of oil touching well over $100 per barrel in 2019. And on that very topic, I had done another podcast. It's called Oil on the Boil. So do listen to that as well. This has a cascading effect that we know all too well. Raw materials like copper, aluminium or machinery becomes more expensive. They squeeze margins of companies dependent on them to make products. That then leads to a rise in prices of goods such as cars and televisions. You'd think that exporters would benefit from a stronger dollar and a weaker rupee. You'd be right, except that the export market is also going through a prolonged lull. Stiff competition and anemic demand in most export markets is how one analysis explains the exporter's quandary. And we also know the trouble of rising oil prices. Everything else that follows, transport of material from one place to another, requires vehicles. Vehicles use oil, and oil, if it's going up, every other price that follows down from there increases. And lots of industries that involve the byproducts of the oil industry, like the plastics industry, which is a huge industry, also suffers. A stronger dollar could also affect gold prices negatively in India. And though equities can exhibit volatility in the short term, investors would do well to stick with their investments in quality companies. Akshay Seth, who is a SEBI-registered research analyst and co-founder of EquityBox.com, spelled with double X, writes, and I quote, "The biggest financial institutions, those that hold trillions of dollars, are global asset allocators. That is, they invest in everything, stocks, bonds, currencies, and in every country, India, US, China, etc., in proportion to attractiveness and risks. US bonds now are the safest investments on the planet, so they form the basis of judging everything. Now, if the US Fed will raise rate, these investors will sell their investment, big outflows will happen, and this will drain money from equities and prices will be down. That is how it works." So I hope with that we've made it clear to you how this domino effect works of the US Fed raising rates and how it impacts economies across the world. So the big question is, what's next? Earlier this year, in March, the Fed raised benchmark interest rates to between 1.5 and 1.75%. That is 25 basis points. Last Wednesday, the Fed again hiked the US Fed funds rate by 25 basis points, which lifted the benchmark overnight lending rate by a quarter of a percentage point to a range of 2 to 2.25%. Jerome Powell, the new chairman of the Federal Reserve, said he was aware that such a hike may put emerging markets under stress and that the performance of the emerging markets mattered to the Fed, but all countries would benefit from healthy U.S. growth. What did they say? Trickle down, etc. The Fed had forecast that the U.S. economy would experience at least three more years of growth. The American Central Bank foresees a rate hike in December 2018, three more in 2019, and one increase in 2020. So we are looking at potentially at least five more rate hikes in the tenure of a certain Donald Trump. Michael Arone, chief investment strategist at State Street Global Advisors, said, and I quote, "It does seem to potentially indicate they believe monetary policy is becoming less accommodative and getting more towards that neutral rate," unquote. The neutral rate is a Fed estimate at which rates neither stimulate nor restrict the economy. U.S. President Donald Trump criticized the rate hike. He said, and I quote, "We're doing great as a country. Unfortunately, they just raised interest rates because we're doing so well. I'm not happy about that. I'd rather pay down debt or do other things, create more jobs. So I'm worried about the fact that they seem to like raising interest rates," unquote. Jerome Powell refused to take on Trump's remark, saying, and I quote, "We don't consider political factors or things like that," unquote. Analyzing the situation, Mint asked, and I quote, "Will fund flows drop as the U.S. raises rates and winds down its balance sheet, or will the benefit they gain from higher U.S. growth offset that effect?" Question mark. That is the question we're all asking. The Asian Development Bank, in its Asian Development Outlook update, stated, and I quote, "Reducing Fed portfolio holdings or further hiking the policy rate would push up interest rates in the U.S., as would both actions simultaneously. This implies a stronger U.S. dollar, which has mixed effects, and the potential for capital to drain from Asia. Higher U.S. interest rates could spill over into emerging Asia by raising interest rates in the region, thereby posing a challenge to financial stability. Higher financing costs for investment and higher effective discount rates, which would lower asset valuations and weaken the region's corporate balance sheets," unquote. And finally, what is the impact close to home? India's current account deficit has been a topic of conversation, not just in ministries, but also in all sorts of business houses. And it is only widening. In the first quarter of this fiscal, it widened to $15.8 billion, or about 2.4% of our GDP. It was $15 billion in the corresponding quarter a year ago. In the January to March quarter, the trade shortfall stood at 1.9% of the GDP. The problem with the rise in current account deficit is that it leads to depreciation in the value of the rupee because more quantity of currency needs to be utilized for payment of higher imports. And it could get worse. Bank of America Merrill Lynch increased its current account deficit estimate by 0.2% to 2.8% of the GDP for FY19, citing high crude oil prices up to $95 a barrel by the June of next year. If that wasn't enough, economists also expect the CAD to rise to 2.7 to 2.8% this year due to higher imports of electronic goods in addition to spiraling oil prices. Emerging markets that run current account deficits, like India, have seen currencies depreciate sharply. The rupee is today at 73.75 to a dollar. Business Today noted that the fall in the rupee's value can be attributed to global and domestic cues. Brokerages are now cautious when setting lower targets for the rupee, thanks to deteriorating conditions for the currency both at home and abroad. A DBS Bank forecast says the rupee could slide to 75 per dollar, while UBS Securities cut its year-end forecast to 73 from 66. Scotiabank sees the rupee nearing 74. Overseas investors withdrew over 21,000 crore rupees, or $3 billion, from India's capital markets in September alone. That was the sharpest spike in funds outflow in 4 months. Since the start of this year, FPIs, or foreign portfolio investors, have pulled out 63,864 crore rupees from the Indian markets. This has placed enormous pressure on India's currency, which has dropped more than 13% this year, thereby also becoming the worst performing currency in Asia and among the worst performing in the emerging markets worldwide. Considering the Fed stock of further rate hikes, it would not come as much of a surprise if the rupee fell to 75 in the near future. Claudio Borio, who is the head of the Monetary and Economic Department at the Bank for International Settlements, said the volatility being experienced by emerging markets is not a surprise. He said such He said such turbulence is akin to a patient's withdrawal symptoms as he's being weaned away from the narcotic of ultra-low interest rates, unquote. Borio went on to say, and I quote, policymakers and market participants should brace themselves for a lengthy and eventful convalescence, unquote. But it's not all doom and gloom for India. Mint went on to note, and I quote, India can afford to wait and watch for three reasons. First, it does not have a fixed exchange rate, forcing it to copy US action. Secondly, the US is in a policy normalization phase, not monetary tightening. And third, India has built adequate foreign exchange reserves to take care of sudden FPI outflows. And on that note, we must also note that foreign exchange reserves have also fallen in the latest estimates. Well, there you have it. A butterfly effect almost, a domino effect, a little ripple in the monetary policy meeting taking place in the US could cause seismic changes in markets across the world. And that is something that India is also experiencing. But according to some analysts, at least, we're in a better position than before to handle such seismic changes. Is that really true? Will we see the rupee hit 75 or under anytime soon? Will petrol prices contribute to the worsening situation of the current account deficit? And will the sanctions imposed on Iran by the United States make the situation that much worse? And we don't have to follow the news to understand the effects of these things, because that news will be seen on the bill that you see at the end of refueling your car. Thank you for joining us.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast. And you have been listening to Money Control.